Welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your weekly prescription for happier, healthier homeschool living. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mother of six. Hey, homeschoolers. I want to thank Affirm Films and Sony Pictures Animation for their sponsorship of this podcast. The Star is now available on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital. This is a great movie for the entire family. For this episode, I got to catch up with our new homeschoolers. What was intended to be a topic on curriculum choices became a discussion of interest-led learning. I know you'll be inspired by what we shared. But first, I want to invite you to join me on the Facebook page live to ask questions on Tuesdays at 4 Eastern, 3 Central, 2 Mountain, and 1 Pacific. I will be sharing sanity savers for your homeschool, family, and life that you don't want to miss. If you catch me live, you can ask questions and I can get to know you better. We have so much fun. You can catch the replay for the shows on the Facebook page at facebook.com/psychowithsix or on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/psychowithsix. Now from the studio that brought you Miracles from Heaven and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs comes the timeless tale about faith, friendship, and the importance of believing in yourself. Affirm Films and Sony Pictures Animation's The Star arrives for the first time on Blu-ray and DVD and digital on February 20th, 2018, with special bonus content features like Starioki, where you can sing along with Bo and friends, lyric videos from Mariah Carey, Fifth Harmony, A Great Big World, Kelsey Ballerina, and Kirk Franklin. Visit the website for more resources for you and your family at thestarmovie.com. Also, be sure to engage with our special Faith All Year Round Children's Sermon Study from Devon Franklin, discussing the themes of the film and how to keep the spirit of the inspiring story alive in us every day. Get your copy at thestarmovie.com today. I heard from Jolene, Jeanette, and May Lynn via email. I asked them about their parenting approach since we last spoke and what curriculum they are using. Jolene wrote, "Honestly, I've probably become more lax in my parenting since we last spoke. I'm not worried though, because I know we go through stages and I'll get back on track shortly. As a reminder, my daughter is only 4, so I'm really only concentrating on Bible, reading, and math. For Bible, I've started reading the Jesus Storybook Bible, which I also have on audiobook. This has been great for incorporating history and science also. For reading, I've been using a slow approach to all about reading. What I mean is, I have done a few lessons and then I've been supplementing a few review or games before I move on to the next lessons. This has helped give her some time to really grasp the concepts and reassure both of us, but especially my daughter, that she understands the concepts. For math, I picked up a couple of math books at the dollar store and then have a few games and activities that I throw in. Most of these ideas are a mix of YouTube and Pinterest ideas I've seen. Every once in a while, I also throw in a little science or history with my read aloud time. For the most part, this approach has worked." Jeanette wrote, "I feel like this year has been hard to keep up with a good balance. We took a long break between Thanksgiving and New Year's. We will now be getting back into our rhythm. My only change has been to relax more and stop trying to act like public school. Right now, I've noticed quality time is what my children are craving, so we will be doing a lot of reading and crafts." May Lynn wrote that she has not made any changes to her parenting approach because she is expecting and has been feeling ill until recently. For curriculum, she is using co-ops, bedtime math, and reading eggs. She wrote that she would like to be more organized, but for now is just surviving. Now for my interview with Erica that became a thorough discussion of interest-led learning.
Erica, thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Homeschool Sanity Show. I don't know if we're going to have anyone else who is a new homeschooler weighing in with us this month, but that is okay because we can get to talk a little bit more than we normally do. So I appreciate you so much taking the time out of your busy schedule to chat with me. The first thing I want to do is ask you how parenting has been going this month. We talked about last time with our new homeschoolers about parenting approach and about how we can revert to a passive parenting style or an authoritarian parenting style when we're under stress. And so then I gave some thoughts and ideas about the type of parenting approach we can take, and we can kind of plan ahead and be ready for those stressful times. Because if we know how we're going to respond to a certain type of misbehavior, that was the other thing I asked people to think about, you know, what kind of behavior just kind of gets under your skin and how are you going to respond to it? So that is what we talked about. And if our listeners want to hear that episode, I will be listing it in the show notes for them. But how has parenting been going for you since we talked last?
Well, actually, I wasn't able to talk with you last time because we were undergoing some life changes in our family, and it was at the end of a really stressful period. I was really happy I didn't have to own up to my parenting styles at that point because it was whiplashing. It was whiplashing between authoritarian and passive. With almost no middle ground because I was just swimming. With that, you know, we've had some changes. Things have opened up. We ended up taking a road trip. And so it let us really focus on time together a lot more, figure out a little bit better how things work. And so now it's just moving a lot more to, I believe it's the, I forget which one it is, but the one with more strength and more compassion and just expecting that things will happen the right way if you believe in your children and believe that they can do it instead of feeling like, oh, they might mess this up again. I still just lash between the others, especially when I end up exhausted, but I'm doing a little bit better coming from that position of, you know, compassionate strength where I know that they can do it. I let them know that they can do it, and shockingly, they can put on their shoes and their clothes and their jackets and get themselves into their car seats, as opposed to having to still treat them as little guys because they don't want to do it.
Right. Boy, that is a really good point, that what we believe about our children and their behavior definitely influences them. If we expect that our child cannot pull it together, even though they're tired from getting up early or not having a nap, then our child probably is going to, you know, not exceed those expectations that we have for them, and they're not going to pull it together. So I really like that reminder, Erica, and I appreciate that. And the term that you're looking for is authoritative, and it's a hard one to remember. It's too similar to authoritarian, right?
Yes, it is. Far too similar.
Yeah, I have a hard time remembering the terms, and it doesn't really matter what the terms are because we know what we're talking about. I loved your description there, too, of being strong and compassionate, and then again, putting in a dose of, you know, what your expectations are. I was just talking with a friend of mine about having a very structured approach to teaching our kids character. And I was just remarking that I have done so many programs and used so many books and very structured approaches to teaching my kids character. And the fact is, I've failed in just about every way when using those curricula. Either I failed because I haven't been consistent in it, or my kids definitely have failed and they haven't been doing what I think they should be doing if they're working the program, okay, working the program. And the fact is, now that I have three who are, my third one is on the verge of being an adult, I look back on their character and I realize that I'm so thankful for the character that they have. And I don't think the character growth that has taken place is related to any of the programs or books that I've used, but more just living day to day. And I felt like that's kind of what you were describing. You know, you're just trying to live this parenting thing. And there is a lot to be said for that, a lot to be said for prayer too. You know, when you run into a snag or you're having a problem with a particular child, when you are in prayer about it, you know, don't underestimate the power of that. And not only from God's answering that prayer, but how it changes us as parents. You know, we relax, we trust, we have perspective on our parenting. So anyway, I just had to throw that out there because we just had that conversation recently. And I hope it encourages you and other newer homeschoolers who are listening, because, you know, we can get so down on ourselves, you know, about our parenting and the character that we are seeking to teach in our kids. It just doesn't seem to be clicking for whatever reason. And I'm just telling you, the long-term perspective looks so much better than it does in the day to day. Okay. So I want
to be open to see what they're doing too. We need to be open to see what they're doing too. I know that whenever that I am really stressed, the kids are also in the same position, and we need to catch the compassion they show too. My youngest asked Santa for presents for his cousins for Christmas. And that's not a character that can be taught in a book. That's something that you have to spot when you see it happening with your children and encourage it. It's something that's really hard to help them outside.
That is very, very good. I love it. And that's exactly right. We have to just, you know, cut our kids some slack, cut ourselves some slack, and not jump to the conclusion that whatever behavior we see in front of us is forever. You know, I definitely did that. It's like, oh no, my child is being so selfish today. This child is going to grow up being a selfish adult, a selfish parent. You know, and it's like, whoa, 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 relax, relax. You deal with the selfishness, you confront it, you keep teaching, you keep training, and in the end, you're likely to see that effort and attention bear fruit, even though a standard curriculum probably isn't going to do the trick on that. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that affirmation and reminder. I want to switch gears and talk about something that we haven't talked about at all, surprisingly, with this series, and that is your homeschooling approach and curriculum. And I'm going to be asking the other homeschool moms to weigh in on this, but there is a good reason that I didn't make that first and foremost, because I think most of us who come to homeschooling, we think that curriculum is the number one thing, and I don't think it is at all. I think some of these other things that we've been talking about, parenting and character and our relationship with our kids, is a lot more important. And that's why I put it up front as a topic of discussion in the series. But I am interested in what kinds of things you've been using with your kids, if you're using any kind of structured curriculum, and if you could kind of talk about how is it going? Do you feel like it is an appropriate use of your time? Is it time consuming or not very time consuming for you? Does it take a lot of time for your kids? Is it too challenging, not challenging enough? Is it interesting, not that interesting? Does it, you know, work with your child's learning style? I mean, there's a lot that we can talk about with respect to curriculum. And so I'm wondering if you can kind of speak to that for us.
I can definitely speak to that. And I'm glad you're waiting until this time of year to ask, because I wasn't quite as sure of my approach earlier on. At this point, we are pretty much taking more of an interest and experience-led curriculum. What we're doing is there's so many things around us to talk about that usually questions from there end up building on each other. And, you know, I'm lucky that I have a strong background in math and science and all of that. So when they have a my boys have a question about volcanoes, and then they say that the earth shakes because it's warning people that the volcano is going to erupt. We have a small lesson on tectonic plates and how those are similar to ice in a pond and the way they move across each other. There's just so many, they have so many questions, and there's so many things that they're interested in that when we see those things, we discuss them and then come back to them. And I'm also pretty blessed because my kids like to work on reading a lot themselves. My oldest likes to do math drills in the car. He just says, "Mom, what's these numbers?" And I also do math drills back with him in the car when we're going and working on reading signs and the things around us. There's so much that they see, and they're just still so fascinated and excited by pulling those things around them and making sense of them than any of the times we've sat down and tried to do anything more more curriculum-driven. They lose some of that interest. And one of my biggest things is I'm so excited about creating lifelong learners and people who are fascinated by the world that I'm most afraid of squashing that love of learning. I barely survived schooling with my love of learning intact. And that's one of my main motivations. We do some things. The boys use an app, Teach a Monster to Read. And so they play that, and their reading skills are really progressing a lot. We have some good friends that we're picking them up from their Catholic school some days, and sometimes we're doing homework. And their son brought home his reading homework, and I got to see how my 5-year-old and 3-year-old did in comparison to that. And that makes that I probably shouldn't look for those outside reaffirmations and try and compare them to other people, but we're human. We do. And I was pleasantly surprised at how my free-learning children are doing compared to a child who's had to sit down and cry over sight words and all of these other things and sit at a desk staring at these different concepts, the way that they both had similar approaches to them, or at least similar outcomes when it came time to try and read the worksheet. And right now, there's just so much interest and so much spark. Right now, we're laying the groundwork. I mean, it's about getting that interest in learning and reading. But not all kids, no matter how hard they push, are able to read by first or second grade, even if they are seriously tutored and pushed towards it. There's some kids whose brains just don't quite click yet. There's others that are reading in three. So some of that's innate. Some of it's what's around them. And math, building those skills as well. And you know, both of them are already working on the concepts of multiplication and division. And now we're talking about negative numbers because they were asking those questions. So I feel like because when there's a question, we've always fully answered it and talked about it and said, and this is probably a little bit beyond you, but here's a couple more things that are out there that you can learn too later or whenever you're ready. And by presenting knowledge is everywhere and things to be learned is everywhere, they like to see what's around them, which is so exciting. I do use some workbooks. I actually just opened up my planner, which I hadn't opened in 2 months. And I have some very nice United States, Our World workbooks that we're going to fill in because we were actually able to take a road trip across the country to California from New Hampshire. And so now we're going to go in and we're going to be doing a map of where we drove and tell stories about our favorite parts of what we saw and work on the different state worksheets that we went through and then maybe look at the other ones in the future. And just being open to all of this, we're hopeful. The boys don't want to fly to California anymore. They want to drive. And so that means that next time we do a road trip, they're going to start doing some of the planning. It'll probably be a couple of years before they can budget out the time and the money, all that much. But the more that they can look at and see the choices we're making, I think that's the kind of learning that most kids are missing in school. And that's what we're blessed to be able to provide, homeschooling.
Right. Okay. So I am anticipating the thoughts of our listeners right now. And, you know, I think there are two issues that many homeschoolers, not even just new homeschoolers, would have with what you're talking about with respect to an interest-led homeschool, okay? And the first one is, what if your kids just aren't that interested in that many things? Do you think you are doing anything to encourage interest in a variety of topics in your kids?
Well, right now they get exposure to enough things that I feel like they have varied enough interests. I don't know if you've seen that silly meme about interest in dinosaurs, but even if they're obsessed on one topic like that, if you bring in what you can bring in around their interests, you can bring in counting the different dinosaurs. You can bring in the time. You can bring in the way the land was different. You can bring around in so many different issues that you need to curate it. You can't just set them free and say, go figure it out and have fun. You know, that's not fair to anybody. It's definitely not fair to your kids to do that. But taking what they're passionate about and saying, well, you know, they haven't been doing any math lately. We need to get them doing some more math. So by doing that, let's count dinosaur types. Let's stack up these dinosaurs and see if in these family groups we can multiply them and see what they're doing. It probably takes a lot of my seat of the pants curating in order to try and get them to get all the topics that they need to have. But I think that that's something that if you have excited learners and you know how to help shape them to figure out what you think that they haven't been doing and present it to them in context with their interests, it can be, I think that it potentially can work. I think that some kids aren't interest-driven enough in order for that to work as well. It totally depends on the kid, because if your kid gets fascinated by everything and really wants to learn about it, then it's going to be a lot easier. But if your kid is more reserved and they're not interested in really digging really deep into a topic, it's probably not going to be a very good fit.
Now,
and it's not a judgment. That's a personality.
No. Absolutely. I know what you're saying. So I am curious, before I kind of respond more to what you said there, have you read any homeschooling books about interest-led learning that have really shaped your approach?
I know that I've read through some. I've read a variety of different topics. I know that my mom teaches third grade, and I just got attacked 2 nights ago about why I'm not sending them to school, because even if they get harassed on the school bus, it's still better to be with their peers and doing what everybody does. So I have her curriculum information. I've read early learning theory and early learning books, and I've definitely immersed myself in that part of it. And I've read, there was a book by Erica Christensen that I read. It was more of the early play-based, and the idea that at least starting out being more play-based could give children a lot more confidence and skill in order to be able to get to the point where they're ready to more seriously tackle topics. And there was also some research. I was reading some publications. There was some, I think they were published in Psychology Today, but I'm not certain. I haven't been documenting this like I did back in my life as a stock analyst, but I've definitely been soaking up information from different sources. I do think that as they get older, it's unlikely that their interest driven will be enough, but it might be, because if they have a topic that's all encompassing enough, and say they want to start a business doing whatever they're doing, they might actually all come in, and as we find a part of the floor of their knowledge that hasn't been filled in with what they need, then we can go back, we can fill that part in. and see what they need. And I want I need them to be able to find holes in their knowledge and not look at it as a flaw, but look at it as an opportunity to learn, because I think adults need that too.
Right, right. And, you know, I definitely, I was kind of chuckling to myself about using dinosaurs, you know, to teach a variety of concepts, because my oldest son was obsessed with dinosaurs. I became an expert in dinosaurs because I read every single book that our library owned on dinosaurs because of his interest. And he would always complain they don't have enough books on dinosaurs. And I made him, for Christmas one year, his own dinosaur book, where I did exactly what you're talking about, and I used dinosaurs to teach, you know, math concepts, and, you know, like I made him like a spot the differences kind of a page. You know, I just had a lot of fun with it. And so when parents are thinking about, well, how can I do interest-led learning, I think sometimes they think, how can I get them interested in X topic? And I do think there is a way of doing that, but you can begin with what your child is already interested in, you know, even if it doesn't seem like, oh, well, this is like the biggest, most fascinating topic. You can start where they're at. And vice versa, though, if you, because, you know, my son, who was the dinosaur obsessed one, was a lot more straightforward about what his interests were, whereas my next sons were not that way so much. And what I have found is that I could impart my own interests to them because I was excited about a topic and I had started to learn about that topic, and you can really have a shared interest then. And so, you know, if you want your child to be interested in some aspect of science, then you get interested in that and you find some really neat materials or videos or experiences that you can use to spark that interest. And kids pick up on your interest and fascination with a topic as well. So it can kind of be both. And so I'm just throwing that out there for parents who think, oh man, if I wait for my child to be interested in something, I'll be waiting a long time. And I don't really think that's the truth, right?
They see you learning something and going through that process. And I think that is really beneficial to them too.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And the other concern that I think some of our listeners are going to have is, you know, it's obvious to me, and I'm sure to them too, that you are, you're very knowledgeable and you're very motivated to follow up on your kids' interests and, you know, figure out ways to incorporate that to teach a variety of subjects. What would you say to someone who says, I'm not that creative, or I don't have the same kind of background that you do? How do you think I could still incorporate more interest-led learning?
Well, I think with that, you start with where you are, because maybe you haven't gone to differential equations in math, but you don't need that when you're talking about different, you know, the other ways that you're introducing it to a younger student. You go with what you know, and if let's say your child is obsessed with buildings and houses, and you realize that there's some trigonometry built in there, and you remember there was something about SOHCAHTOA, but you have no idea what it is, it would be a chance to say, you know, I know that there's something that can help us figure out how you would build your roof on your house. Let's look it up, because I don't really remember it all from school, but let's do it together and see what it is. And then you're teaching your children how to research it and how to look for the information and how to identify that you have a question that you don't yet know and how to find that information. Because that's something that I think that is trying to do it while hiding the gaps in your own knowledge from your kid would be incredibly stressful and incredibly hard. And I don't know how anybody could survive intact by trying to do that. But just being honest about what you do and don't remember, but showing them how to find the answers is definitely really important. And I know there's some people who don't feel confident that they can find the answers. I know that everybody can, but you have to have the confidence about it. So instead of taking that with your children, it would be best to just sort of figure out how to research some of those things that you're interested in, just enough to remember the process or learn it. There's so much out there on the internet that by working on that. But then again, anybody who's found you knows how to research into a topic. They're doing this work. They're doing that. But a lot of people will give themselves credit for going and looking at podcasts and different things in order to get information. But it's that same research process. It's just a matter of what you're looking for and where your sources are. And it's the same thing as whether I'm trying to figure out how to clean my house or figure out if a certain medical device is going to have an option on the market. It's that same asking questions and finding the answers from appropriate sources. And it's trusting in yourself and in God that you're able to find those by looking and always keep questioning it, because maybe something isn't the right source. But having that open exploration is something that, you know, parents can build and then teach their kids. But trying to do this and hide their own learning process probably would be a pretty negative experience, because there'd be a lot of self-doubt going on, and then the kids would probably see some of that dissonance as well, and it would be a lot harder for them as opposed to working on learning it. So I think parents who don't feel comfortable with it, I guess, should probably realize how strong they already are at researching information. And then build that confidence more. And if they're confident enough, then they can do that with their kids. And if not, that's all right. We're all still learning. Right?
And
I
think it also goes back to what you said before about, you know, our kids rising up to our expectations of what they can do. We also can rise to meet our expectations of what we can do. And if we label ourselves as, well, I'm not the creative type, I'm not the organized type, I can't figure these things out type, then we're going to struggle. But if we say, I can do this, I can absolutely do this. And I think they will discover that there is a lot more potential that they have to have the kind of homeschool that they would like to have. Well, Erica, this conversation took a different turn than I was expecting, but I am actually really excited about it, because I think interest-led learning is something that is very interesting to a lot of new homeschoolers. And, you know, they want to know, how can I do this? And you have done a great job of describing how you can do it, especially in the early years. I think it's a little bit more complex as kids get older, but this was great. I mean, I've had a lot of exposure to interest-led learning in my years of homeschooling, and I've incorporated quite a bit of it. So I think this will be excellent for people who are newer to homeschooling to start to think about how they can do it. And I'm going to add in the show notes for you who are listening some books that you can consider learning if you want to just kind of take a look at interest-led learning and how you can use that in your homeschooling. You might have heard it referred to. Yeah, go ahead.
If I may want to add one other thing, when it comes to higher levels, the interest-led learning can also lead to certain courses. My brother was never really interested in math, and so he thought that he was bad at math for a long time until he realized that to be a materials engineer, he would have to improve his math level. So he came and spent the summer with me and took classes, took three serious full semester classes over the summer, and jumped up his math knowledge by about 3 years of college work because his interest finally said math matters. And so he seized on that opportunity, found the right resources by taking these summer classes at solid universities. And he built all of that math knowledge up as soon as he realized that that gap was needed. That gap was there and that he needed to fix it in order to do what he wanted to do in life. So that's the later stage version of it. It's not
right.
All the learning's done in-house, but you find the right resources, even if it's mm-hmm. going to a certain class in order to fill it in.
Right.
I had to ask that because that's such an example.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and, you know, I think what you're saying is, you know, he wasn't necessarily like, oh, I have to study this math because it's so fascinating to me. It's really a matter of motivation. And my son was very much this way. He was dragging his feet on doing his algebra book. And, you know, he had this, it was an excellent book teaching him algebra, but he just wasn't doing it. He was focusing on all these other topics that were very interesting to him. And when he learned that his peers who actually I say his peers because he was really hanging out with kids who were a year younger than he is. Mm-hmm. He was young for his grade, and we kind of put him in that peer group because of sports and that kind of thing. We wanted him to, he wasn't big for his age, that kind of thing. But anyway, when he found out that his peers were, they had already whipped through their algebra in school, that was not acceptable to him. And all of a sudden, he was motivated to study algebra. And then when he did, he loved it so much that he just whipped through math courses like at an astonishing rate, and was the next thing I knew, he was taking upper level calculus through an AP online course. I'm like, wow, what just happened there? And it didn't begin with, oh, I'm so fascinated with algebra. So I think you make a really good point that it can be learning style. Like your kids, it sounds like, are very reading focused, if I was understanding you correctly. And is that right?
They're still on the early side of reading. It's not,
okay.
I can't sit them down with all that many books yet, but they're fascinated
okay.
by it, and they're working on those skills.
Okay. Okay. All right. Very good. And so there are kids, though, who that's not going to be their primary learning style, is actually reading themselves. But you can do so much by playing audiobooks, by reading books to your kids, by giving them experiences, by watching YouTube videos on a certain topic. So, you know, don't feel like, oh, my child isn't reading yet, or my child doesn't even really like to read, that you can't do interest-led learning, or that a particular curriculum, maybe that your child just can't even get into a particular subject because they don't like to read, or they just don't have that capacity yet, because there are so many other options. Well, this was fantastic, Erica. I really appreciate talking with you about this, and it will be, I hate to keep using this word interesting, but it just keeps popping into my head. It will be interesting to see how that goes for you as your kids get older. So somewhere down the road, you're going to have to get in touch with me and say, oh, you know, we're still doing interest-led learning, and here's how it looks in our homeschool.
The links to materials mentioned in the podcast go to homeschoolsanity.com/new-interest. Thanks again to Affirm Films and Sony Pictures Animation for sponsoring this podcast. Have a happy homeschool week.
Thank you for joining me for the Homeschool Sanity Show. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.